Luke. And I'm going to use this passage and make a spiritual application out of it. I think a lot of things the Lord talked about the kingdom, we can make spiritual applications and apply them to us as members of the body of Christ. There are principles that the Lord applied even dealing with the kingdom program that we can use today in in our ministry. Just like he would send these people out. Well, there's nothing wrong with us going out. You see what I'm saying? And so I want to use this passage in the book of Luke chapter 19 and you make a spiritual application about it. Before I do so, will you go with to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, you know our hearts. You know why we're here. We pray that you'll get glory and honor out of the message and the reading of thy word. Pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to the truths that you would have us to hear and learn today. Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge. Lord, that I might present it the way that will bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, that I'd lift you up. If you don't get the glory out of it, then Father, we might as well just go home and not even have an assembly. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you for you dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for sending somebody by to preach that gospel to us. Lord, I pray for these many requests and people that are sick. And I thank you for the good report from Ray and Jesse. Pray for this lady that has cancer. Lord, you know, God, how these old bodies are. And Father, I just pray that you give them grace and strength. And Lord, just work things out for your glory. And everything that's accomplished, we'll give you the praise. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, may this be the day that they'll trust you as their personal Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 19, and I want to begin reading here and talk to you about this. It's a parable that the Lord gave, and in verse 12, he said, and he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country. That would be the Lord Jesus would be the nobleman. Went into a far country where the Father is, heaven, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, second coming. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, the nation Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They would not accept him as their king. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Notice it's earthly. The earth. Cities. Physical. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a steward man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an assured man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And so the man lost what he had by not using it. I want to talk to you about use it or lose it. And every one of us is going to be given account at a judgment someday. Now I want you to notice this thing about it. God always, always gives you the tools to do the job that He called you to do. The Lord will not ever give you something to do without providing for you the necessary things that will get the job done. He does not throw you out and say you are on your own. This man, and I want to use the spiritual applications of it, and I want that pound, that money, to represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given us the tools, and that gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God's not the air that's around. I like electricity in the air and making goosebumps come up on everybody and causing people to faint and fall out into the floor and all of that. No, the power of God today is in words. And those words is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see this signifies the message. And God is entrusted to you as a steward. And it doesn't matter whether you teach, preach, or just come here. If you are saved and in the body of Christ, God has delivered you this treasure. Now notice this treasure, verse 23. Wherefore then gavest not thy money to the bank. We put money, treasures, in banks. We put our valuables in banks. And so whatever this pound was, or ever how much it was treasure. It was valuable. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice what he says in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, Paul speaking, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure that's in earthen vessels is the gospel of Christ. In verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, it goes back to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God commanded the light. And here it is in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, this knowledge about the cross of Christ in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God. Listen, it's not the vessels that get the job done. It's the treasure that's in the vessels. That's where the power's at. And everybody that is saved has that treasure. You have that knowledge. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. People that don't know the gospel and they don't believe the gospel, they're not saved. Professors that do not believe in the resurrection and they don't believe in the virgin birth, they don't believe in all of the things that he really died and they don't believe in the word, they're not saved. That gospel, they don't have nothing hid in them. They don't have nothing, no treasure in earthen vessels. But everybody that's saved realizes that that's where the power of God is. So you're in that God has given you a pound. I just put that like that. He has bestowed you and he's gone. And we're ambassadors for Christ. And so we have this treasure. I'll notice something about a faithful servant. Look with me again and look back in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first thing I want you to see about the faithful, there were three of them. He gave one, he gave them a pound, he gave them something valuable, and he said, I'm gone, occupy till I come. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ not on this earth. He left his ambassadors on this earth. If the Lord just saved you to get you to heaven, then he would have saved you and took your life and took you on to heaven. But he left you here for a purpose. Now think about that question that David asked his brothers when he went over there. His daddy said, here, take these figs and this wine and stuff and food and go over there and see how your brothers is doing. They was in Saul's army. And the eldest was over there. And so old David goes over there. And you realize when David goes over there to meet his brothers and see how they're doing, there's old Goliath down there. That big old Philistine down there stood over 9 feet tall. You've never seen a man that tall. And he's standing down there and he's defying the armies of God. And here comes David over there. And people don't realize, they think about David being a little scrawny little boy. Do you realize that when David gets over there to face Goliath, that's the king of Israel? Samuel had done anointed him king. And there he comes down there, and his brothers, they began to rail on him. Just like they did Jesus Christ. And old David said, is there not a cause? And I think about that question. And you ought to think about it. What is your cause? God just didn't leave you on this earth just to fill up a space and breathe His air and soak up His sunshine and that's it. He left you here for a purpose. Many people will go through their Christian walk of life and never fulfill that purpose. Is there not a cause? Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 1, let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I want to tell you something. A steward was the head of the household. He was given charge of certain things. And everybody in here that's saved by the grace of God, God has entrusted you with this treasure and given you this treasure, and you have it. Use it or lose it. You say, well, how can I lose it? I'm not talking about your salvation. Look back in chapter 3 while you're there. Notice in verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Use it or lose it. I'd whole lot rather suffer down here for the gospel's sake than to suffer at the judgment seat of Christ and lose the reward that I could have had. And that's the thing about the parable. This man took what the Lord had given him, but he hid it away. He didn't use it for the glory of the Lord. He just stole it away and put it back and didn't ever do nothing with it. And when they stood before the Lord, there was nothing he accomplished. He had the tools to do it. He had the same ability. He had the same pound as the others had. And they went out and used it and they gained. What's the goal? Folks, what you do for the Lord down here is going to be gain when you stand before Him. And what you don't use for His glory that He's given you is going to be a loss when you stand before Him. I think about that. God requires one thing from you. Faithfulness. Isn't that something? I mean, He sent His Son into the world, and His Son took upon Him the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And they took Him out there. And I was reading about it this week, and it always, I just start reading it, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm just seeing it in my mind. I think about when they took Him over there, and Pilate sent Him over there to Herod. And Herod and his soldiers got around Him. And they stripped His clothes off, the Bible says. And they mocked Him and made fun of Him. And they ridiculed him and laughed at him, and they blindfolded him and took their hands and their fists, and they hit him in the face and said, "Who prophesy? Who smoked you?" And that's the Creator, that's the Son of Almighty God there. And I can see him as they strap him down and wrap his arms around the pole and get his skin on his back real tight and take that whip, and they begin to beat him and tear hunks of flesh out of his back. And there he is, blood running down all over him. There he is, naked, and they're mocking him, and they're beating him, and they're scourging him, and they're hitting him, and they're spitting on him. God didn't do nothing to lift, stop that. While Jesus said in the garden there, "Think not that I could pray to my Father and He'd send 12 legions of angels at this time." Folks, 12 legions ain't would come destroy this world. I mean, one killed 185,000 in one night. Lord send a few angels through this country and it'd wipe everybody out. They wouldn't have no feelings. They're not human. They do God's bidding. They'd come up to you if God told them to cut your head off. They'd cut your head off and wouldn't think nothing about it. So I don't like a God like that. You don't have no choice. He's God. He's God Almighty. And there He didn't do nothing. You know why He didn't do nothing to stop that? Because if He would have stopped them beating His Son and doing what they did to His Son, you would be in hell right now. He's doing that for me. He's doing that for you. And He did all of that. And God says, "Okay, I'm going to require something of you. Here's the good news. Here's this treasure. I believe that God saves you, gives you eternal life, and gives you His righteousness. He took your pain, your agony, your suffering. He took it all from you. And all He asks, be faithful. Use what I give you." Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." These are the gifts of verse 8. "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captive to captive and gave gifts unto men." Here they are. "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints." The word "perfecting" there is the same word that's translated "mending" in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. They were out mending their nets. They were bringing them back together, strengthening them. That's the purpose of the pastor's teachers. God will have all men to be saved. That's getting them into the body and come under the knowledge of the truth. That's mending them, giving them that knowledge that there are one in Christ, mending them, and there shouldn't be no schisms and isms and splits and divisions in that body. There should be peace, which we don't have today, because we don't have the gifts doing their job. Amen. They're preaching their denominational doctrine instead of the Word of God rightly divided. And they're causing the splits in the net, they're not mending, they're not perfecting the saints. They're not bringing the body together unto the knowledge of the truth. But let's look on. For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edifying is built up, building up. The work of the ministry is done by the saints, not the pastors, the teachers. We, our job is to perfect, bring them together so that they can do the work of the ministry. The saints is the ones that does the work of the ministry. Do y'all understand that? It's y'all's job. What? Stewards are to be found faithful, required faithful. God wants you to be faithful doing the work of the ministry, whatever that work is. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's given you the pound. He's entrusted you with the gospel. Well, what am I to do with it? You're to get it out. That's the only thing that's going to save people is the gospel. So you're to get it out. You're to be faithful. Look down in verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, out of love, you get the gospel out, you take that God has given you, and you go share it in order to build the body up, to get others into the body. That's the work of the ministry. Then, look with me in Timothy. Notice, I believe it's 2 Timothy. And the thing is like a chain reaction, folks. The Bible says in verse 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, things that you've heard, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, Timothy, as a young pastor, you know, we teach men, and they go out and teach other men, and they go out and teach others, and we're using the gospel and the doctrine of the body of Christ so the body can be built up, built together. We either use it or lose it. And I've seen people come in there, oh man, that's great truth, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, and before you know it, they're back in the system, and they don't even think about right division anymore. And they're back, and they're done, and you try to talk, and they've lost what they had. Use it or lose it. And not only are they going to lose the knowledge that they had about right division, but at the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to suffer loss when they could see what they could have had versus what they really get. What a time of weeping that's going to be. I don't want you to be that way. Say, well, what can I do? Whatever the Lord have you to do. I know God would have all men to be saved. I realize that the gospel is the only way that men's going to be saved. So I know it's in the will of God for the members of the body of Christ that have the treasure in earthen vessels to get that treasure out. Let people see it. Don't wrap it up in a napkin. Don't hold it back. Let people know. Get it out. Whatever means that we have, whatever means that you have, whether it be by passing out things or tracts or talking to people or going or whatever, when the door opens. You know what it boils down to? Just be available for the Lord's use. When the Lord opens the door, be available to step in and say, yes, I'll go, Lord. Send me. Just be available. That, hey, that's what I want to be. Lord, I'm ready. I'll be available. And be faithful. Faithful steward. He uses that God has given him to make increase in the body. What is gained spiritually in this world will not be lost, but enlarged. Look with me in Colossians. We've done seen in Corinthians that there'll be people that suffer loss. In verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. He said in verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't do it to get praise of men. Don't do it to get somebody to pat you on the back and say, look what, boy, that's a good job. No, no, no. Do it to the Lord, unto the Lord. You men, you get up in the morning. You ladies, you get up in the morning. Whether you go to a job, whether you clean house, whatever, do it to the Lord. That's what you're supposed to do. You're to provide for your own. He that provideth not for his own, especially those of his own household, has denied the faith and is worse than infidel. You work for the Lord. If you work for the Lord, your family won't suffer. Do it for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily. I back trailers, I back them for the Lord. I read my Bible, read it for the Lord. I preach for the Lord. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We do what we do. I come here on Sunday morning for the Lord. Amen. Use it. Look in verse 24. Knowing. That's why we do. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing. Having a knowledge. That of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect to persons. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be no respect to persons. You that are saved, you're going to stand there as a servant. You're going to stand there and give an account of your service for the Lord while you was here on this earth. There better be a call. I realize I'm not telling about putting a sign on your back saying I'm a Christian, all that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about putting down honk if you love Jesus bumper stickers all over your car and all that. I did that one time. I mean, I didn't put the stickers. I got in behind some honk if you love Jesus. Had them across the two or three of them. So I honked. You know what that driver did? Showed me his IQ. I'm thinking, you know, ain't that something? Stick that stuff behind them, so you go behind them and you blow that horn. And they get upset. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being available for service. I'm talking about if the Lord, all He wants you to do is to come up here and warm a spot on a pew, then bless your heart, don't let it get cold. Warm it. If He wants you, whatever it is, if He wants you to give somebody a tape or talk to somebody, don't worry about your flesh. Don't let your heart get to beating up. Oh, what are they going to think? Who cares what they think? We're serving the Lord. he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong. A servant gives. The next thing about a servant, this man, the servants give all the credit to the master's pound. They didn't say, look what I done. They said, Lord, here's what we took. We took your pound, and it gained. It gained. I didn't gain it. What you give me gained. And that goes back, we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus. What we gain spiritually is because of Him. What we have physically is because of Him. He's the Creator and everything, owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, all the gold and the silver's mine, thus saith the Lord. There's not nothing. Every tree you see, you go out of the parking lot and you look at the trees, you look at the air, the sun, you look at all of the things around you as you're going home. That's the Lord's. He's the owner. What can you possibly give Him that's not His already? It's His. And He's entrusted you with that message. Then the servants. Servant that's faithful, that uses it for His glory, will be rewarded. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. What greater reward than that you can get than what's in this verse? In verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now they're coming out. Whatever in your heart, your motive for service, it will come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Why you do certain things or why you do what you do will come out. If you're doing it to please men, if you're doing it for self-gratification, if you're doing it to get the praise of men, it will come out. That's, He's going to judge your heart. Now look. The hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, the motive. And then shall every man have what? Praise of God. That's the greatest reward that a person could have, for God, the Creator of heaven and earth, to look you and you stand there and there you are and Him say to you, you did a good job. Man, what else could you want? And you will have to say, it was because of what you did. That was where it's at. The servant gives the credit to the master's pound. The servant will be rewarded. Praise. And then I want you to see, however small the gift, whatever that gift is that God has given you, you'll be responsible for it all. Now let me say this. My time's gone. With light comes responsibility. The more you know about the Lord and what He wants you to do, the more responsible you are to Him. You know right division. You know what the Lord is doing today. He's not advancing no kingdom on this earth. He is building a body called the church at one new man that He's creating. With light comes responsibility. You're not going to be able to stand there and say, Lord, I didn't know all this. You will be held accountable. God won't hold you accountable for that you don't understand. But bless your heart, He'll hold you accountable for that you don't believe. And there's a lot of people that see the truth of this Bible rightly divided, and they reject it because it goes against their religion, and they won't have no part of it. They will give an account. Sometimes I think they need to get saved. But if they are saved, they will give an account as a servant that hid what God had given them and wrapped it in a napkin and put it back and didn't use it. And they'll lose it at the judgment seat. Don't be that kind of a believer. Let's pray. Father, I hope and pray, Lord, I got the message across. I pray that You'll just use it for Your glory. Help us all to use what You've given us. Lord, we just like we use this building for You and meet together, help us to use the tools that You've given us, the knowledge and the things and the people, Lord, to get the gospel out. Help us not to wrap it up and keep it to ourselves, but help us to share it. And Lord, let it shine and let people know that Jesus, You died for them, and that's all they need. Lord, it's so simple. And yet people make it so hard, and religion clouds it up. And, oh God, help this church. Lord, I'll be responsible for this church. Lord, help them to never get to the place that they don't want to share the gospel and to give it out so this world could be saved. Lord, if they reject it, then it's the blood's on them, not on us, because we've done what You told us to do. God, may there not be a person here that will, may they all obey the call to spread the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with one another.